I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with actress Wendy Malick. She is often associated with comedic roles. She's the voice of animated characters, and you may have heard her voice on commercials. But she is most noted in my world as the character, as the former model and fashion editor of Nina Van Horn in the long-running TV series Just Shoot Me. And then in 2010 in the cable series Hot in Cleveland as Victoria Chase. Malick's character, Victoria, is a six-time divorced, award-winning actress who loves to be the center of attention, as heard in this clip from the pilot episode of Hot in Cleveland, when a flight attendant approaches Victoria on a flight to Paris.
Excuse me, are you...
Yes, yes, I am Victoria Chase. One tries to be inconspicuous.
Yes, that hat screams, ignore me.
Now, some fans are reluctant to approach me ever since The Edge of Tomorrow was canceled. Playing honor St. Raven for the past 27 years has been a privilege, and it is always so gratifying to meet those that I have moved and touched.
Oh, actually, what I was going to ask was, are you comfortable?
No, but I will be when you bring me a drink.
Champagne, three. Right away.
Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to speak with you. I've enjoyed watching you perform, especially in these two series, Just Shoot Me and Hot in Cleveland. So obviously, you enjoy show business, but your early career was as a model, and then you made a quick pit stop in Washington for politics for a second before moving to becoming an actress. Did you
You have the sequence a little bit out.
Oh, do I have it out of order? Well, then straighten me out.
A little bit.
Straighten it out.
Right after college, I went to work for Jack Kemp, who was my congressman, and he had invited me. We used to ski with his family. My family did. And he said, when you get out of school, if you'd like to see how Washington works, you can come work for my office. And I thought, what a great opportunity. Mm. So I was an intern, and it was during Watergate, which was a fascinating time to be there. And after that, was on a ski team for a while, and then finally got to New York, and that was, I knew I wanted to be an actress. And for about 3 years, I sort of struggled along, was waitressing, and doing dinner theater for like $75 a week. And someone approached me in Times Square, but I didn't start modeling until I was 25.
Oh, really?
And, and someone said, do you model? And I said, I did in high school. And he said, Wilhelmina would really like you. So I went to see her and spent the next 5 years traveling all over the world, which was pretty amazing. So it was my ticket to adventure.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Your good looks and great body didn't hurt either.
Well, I'm a good clothes horse, and I tan really fast. Oh. So they would send me off to beaches to do the summer lines and stuff. And I loved working the runway. It was very dramatic. In those days, all the models really had personalities, unlike when you see them now, and they look kind of drugged and dazed. And but I loved doing the collections in Paris and New York. It was so much fun.
So you would have been how old when you were experiencing Paris?
I lived there for a year. I went back and forth, but I modeled between 75 and 80 and lived in Paris that last year. I did it until I was 30.
Okay, very good.
I was quite old to be a model. So I didn't really get my traction as an actress until I was 30. So I consider myself a late bloomer pretty much in every department.
Do you look fondly of that time when you were working the runways and working in fashion?
Absolutely. It was all good. Yeah, I don't regret any of it.
It might have set you up well for your role as Nina when you get to
you
Just Shoot Me, right?
That did not escape me. I do understand that world.
Yeah.
Very well, yeah.
So when you stopped the modeling gig and you decided you wanted to be an actress, or you worked harder to shape that career, did you find work right away?
I did. I was very lucky. My first job was on an old soap opera called Love of Life, and I think it was the oldest one on television. And it was only like 20 minutes or 18 minutes, because they also had to fit in like the 12 o'clock news, the little 5-minute news thing in there. So I was Nurse Jones. I didn't have a first name, and I pretty much recapped whatever happened the day before, and I had to wear that little the white outfit with the little white hat.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the most stimulating work, but it was good practice for me, because you had to learn a lot of lines every day and kind of hit your mark. And I always say people who can really deliver on a soap opera are going to be amazing when you give them something really juicy to do.
You know, you mentioned that, and I've always wondered this. I was a theater major, but learning the lines, that always seems, whether you're doing it for television, stage, or whatever, learning lines, how do you do that?
I think everybody has a different technique. I mean, for me, if the writing's good and it's a character I understand, I can learn them really easily. When I don't understand what they're going for, or if it's clumsy writing, it's really hard for me, or if I don't understand it. So sometimes technical things like playing a lawyer or a doctor can really get in the weeds because it's such a foreign language to me.
Got
so
it.
The more you can break it down, the better. I'm not classically trained, so for me, Shakespeare is quite daunting. Whereas my niece, who went to Oxford last summer and did an intensive Shakespeare thing, said, I know it now. I know it clicked for me. Now I know how to do this. And I think, that's a whole discipline that I never learned. But it's pretty much just making yourself familiar. I read things a few times when they first come to me, and then I start to break it down and take little sections of it. But, you know, when you're doing a play, you have a gift of time and rehearsal, and with new plays, you're often rewriting as you go. So but it's so collaborative, and I'm doing another new play by Lee Blessing this spring with my niece and my dear friend Dan Loria. And, and I'm very excited because I love working on new plays where you get to kind of piano it yourself. You know, you get to bring that character to life for the first time.
Right,
so
and nobody's
kind of
done
your
it
own.
Before you,
you
so it's yours.
You help
right.
birth
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So plays would be even more challenging because there tends to be obviously so much more dialogue and conversation, and it's for 2 hours, and you don't get a retake, and you have to get it while you're on the stage. So learning lines, and I think that's what I didn't like about the theater, is like I would worry about what I was going to say, what the next person was going to say, when I was going to talk again, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And I'm like, okay, this is not for me.
That's where practice comes in.
Oh, okay.
How do you succeed at Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Got it.
But it's the rehearsal process, and that's why, you know, I have gone in for people who left shows where I'd go in and have 1 week of rehearsal, which is really terrifying.
Sure.
You know, or being an understudy, I've never done, and I think that would be one of the hardest jobs, to just suddenly be thrown out there without having had the gift of rehearsal.
Right.
You know? But when you've had weeks of rehearsal and it's really in your bones, then you can start to enjoy it and have fun with it.
I'm speaking with actress Wendy Malick. So I read this on Wikipedia, and we know how trustworthy that is. So I'm just going to ask you about it. I read that you auditioned for the role of Diane Chambers for Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
True or false? Yeah?
I did. Probably along with many, many, many other women in New York. Yeah.
And how was that experience? Do you remember that experience?
I auditioned for a lot of stuff then. I remember knowing it was a great part. I think that was the same year that I auditioned for Raiders of the Lost Ark, for the role of Grace. And I had gone in and met with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, and they put me on tape. George actually used a little video camera and put me on tape when I first met them. And then they had me come back again, and that one really hurt. Oh, I would have loved that role.
Yeah. Just asking about getting roles, what intrigues you to, you know, you read a role, you go, nope, yes, nope, no.
I like to work, so I've taken things that I wasn't all that crazy about. If they were the best things out there, because I just really, it's kind of like being an athlete, like you just want to keep working your instrument.
Got it.
As much as you can. And I'm just so grateful to be able to continue working at my age because, as you know, this world is not always terribly kind to mature actresses. But I think it's gotten better. I mean, I certainly have felt that in the last few years.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for mature, and maybe part of it is because I'm part of the baby boomer era, and there's so many of us around these days, and you always want to see yourself represented in content. You know, when you only do things for people between 29 and 35 or something, I mean, I can't really relate to what they're going
sure,
through right now
exactly.
because I'm in a different stage of life. So I think now and more they're realizing that there are a lot of amazing box office successes that are pretty much captained by people of a certain age.
Yeah, and, isn't that great?
And even women.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you've worked on stage, film, and television, but I was hoping we could focus a little bit on two of your characters in the series Just Shoot Me and Hot in Cleveland.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And excuse my dog in the background.
Okay. What's your dog's name?
Miles.
Okay. After a quick break, Wendy Malick shares about some of her acting roles, including Victoria Chase from Hot in Cleveland. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. If you're just joining us, my guest is actress Wendy Malick. Her most well-known characters are Victoria Chase from the TV Land series Hot in Cleveland and from NBC's series Just Shoot Me, Nina Van Horn. Here's a clip from Just Shoot Me with a reference to NPR.
Morning, all. Care to guess why I'm so happy?
By the Aztec calendar, you're still 16? Sorry, I haven't had my coffee.
Oh, you poor dear. Anyway, I've been asked to be a guest on Emerson Gray's show on NPR.
Hey. Hey, what's the topic? Semi-famous models you could have sworn were dead?
What's the topic?
Whether the fashion industry creates false and harmful images for women, my position will be a firm no.
For the first time in your life, Finch didn't have any caffeine. So who else is on the show?
Oh, I don't know. I think some gal from the National Organization for Women. It's like a big club.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So you're going to match wits with an angry feminist and an intellectual? Nina, didn't you learn anything from that massacre at Celebrity Jeopardy?
Only that the Daily Double isn't two shots of vodka.
So let's talk about Just Shoot Me. You were Nina Van Horn. You played in that series with David Spade, Laura San Giacomo, George Segal. Can you share some fond memories, or maybe not fond memories, of working in that series and maybe that experience?
We still, after all this time, I think that show ended in 2003, but just a month ago, we all were on David Spade's Lights Out. He has a late-night talk show now.
Yes, yeah.
A late-night talk show, and he has some, and so we did this whole, like, spoof thing where he wanted us to do a reboot of Just Shoot Me, and he comes to each of us separately and did this little video thing, and then we all came together for a table read of this new show we were going to do. But he had renamed it Finch and Friends, which was his character's name.
Oh,
so we decided to place him with somebody else. And the whole thing was a big send-up. But we actually get together at least four times a year, all of us, and then in between, some of us, when we're in town, we'll find each other or we'll go see each other's plays or stand-up or whatever it is. But we've remained really good friends because that was such a positive experience. And, yeah, that was a particularly sweet one.
How nice. I love hearing that. You know, people always say, yeah, we remain friends, but you literally have remained friends and stayed in touch. I think that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of my absolute favorites. I was actually at the last season and a couple of the tapings for this one.
Oh, you were?
I was, right. Yes. Hot in Cleveland, where you played Victoria Chase with Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leaves, and, of course, Betty White. Tell me about that experience, because this, as you were describing, was not about young girls. You know, it was about, you know, and they were still hot in Cleveland.
That was such a surprise when my agent called and said, there's an offer for you to be in this show on TV Land. I said, what is TV Land? I didn't even know what that was. And he said, well, they want to do an original comedy that's around these three women who just things aren't working out in LA, and they end up moving to Cleveland where they're really fabulous, and their housekeeper is Betty White. And I thought, well, that's intriguing. And then I remember the day we had the table read, Valerie and Jane, and I had played Jane's future stepmother because I married Martin on Frasier.
Yes.
So we had worked together, but Valerie I didn't know. And I had met Betty at various animal rights things and the Humane Society events and things like that, and she's just such a great lady. But we sat around that table read and looked at each other afterwards and went, oh my gosh, I think this thing might actually fly. But nobody knew if anyone would bother tuning in to see four old broads and hanging out in Cleveland together. And on that show, Valerie and Jane turned 50, I turned 60, and Betty turned 90.
Oh.
And when we did the pilot, we had just been in New York promoting it, and on the plane, I remember our publicist came up to my seat and said, oh my God, I just got the numbers. Like 4 million people watched it. We were hoping for maybe 1.5 or 2 or something.
Here's a clip with Wendy and the director of Hot in Cleveland, David Trainer.
There is a lightness of being here, which I think so feeds what we do, and it is such a sort of atmosphere of generosity. Everybody's here to make each other look good. There's no, I want my piece, and I want to make sure she doesn't get funnier stuff than me, and it's so balanced that we all occupy a particular part of this universe, and we all enhance each other.
He came downstairs last night. He looked a little like Pooh Bear. That's it! Yeah, it's a difficult look for a man to pull off.
It's sort of like being naked under a trench coat. You know, when a woman does it, it's sexy, but when a man does it, you call the cops.
I want him to stop, but I don't know how to bring it up. What am I gonna do?
You could ask Piglet.
You know, another way to think about that is, the very first audience for this show is the other actors for each other.
Yeah.
So if you want to know who enjoys this show first, it's not the public, it's not even the audience in the stands, it's us. And the desire to please each other and to entertain each other,
yeah,
and to appreciate each other,
yeah,
that's the nature of this tight bond that gets made.
And so it just exceeded everyone's expectations.
It was fabulous. I was one of those people because I was so excited to see you again. And of course, Jane, I loved her in Frasier. And Valerie Bertinelli, I was so excited. And then Betty White, what a wonderful company. It was mm-hmm. just so good. And the story work, the storyline work and the writing seemed to work as it was building. And it was just such a delight to see these older 50 plus women be hot somewhere, you know,
exactly,
and be appreciated.
Because that's something people forget about, and oftentimes I think they write, you know, older women as either they're monsters or they're, you know, little old ladies,
yeah,
or something. But it's like they forget, you know, until you see people, thank God, like Helen Mirren, who remind you that you can be sensuous,
yeah,
and sexy and fabulous at any age. And I think women need to stop making apologies for being older. You know, it's like you just need to own the fact that you're in a different stage, but that doesn't mean that you're not still a full-blown woman with the same kind of charms and assets that you had before. It's just different, but it can be quite wonderful, and I love that they're letting women be attractive and viable and still interested in sex.
Yeah, and I think where I am is it's still okay to wear a 3 or 4 inch heel if you can after 50, because
yeah, I can't. But
well, you don't need to. You're already 5'10".
I know. Are you little? So you have.
I'm 5'11" in shoes, but when I'm in shoes, so that, and I like that because I feel thinner when I'm taller.
I know it is an illusion, but it does feel that way.
Yeah, you know, the other thing about Hot in Cleveland that I really enjoyed was some of the topics that they touched on. And I thought that was, and I guess it was stuff because I was your audience that I wanted to watch, our age group wanted to watch, and it was still funny. And then you had some wonderful guests. I mean, you had Mary Tyler Moore.
So many wonderful guests, my gosh.
Carl Reiner, Mary Tyler Moore.
My mother was Carol Burnett. That was such a gift.
Oh, I don't remember that
Carol
one.
Carol Burnett, she was in 2 episodes and she played my mother, and I grew up watching her, and
me
I
too.
Ended up going up to Sketchfest up in San Francisco and did an evening with Carol Burnett, and I just interviewed her, and we spent 2 hours together. It was so wonderful, and she's so gracious and so humble and exactly what you would think. Just open, kind.
True classic.
Really classic, yeah.
So I want to ask you a little bit about Betty White. You know, when she got so popular. I mean, she's always been popular, but in her 90s, she was doing the Snickers commercial. She did
she
a
was
PBS.
On fire. When,
yeah.
When this happened, she had just hosted Saturday Night Live and done that Snickers commercial for the Super Bowl, and they snagged her, thank goodness. And she wasn't sure if she wanted to do a series, but she came to the table read and just decided, you know what, this one just might be fun to do. So thankfully, we got her.
And how was working with her?
She is the consummate professional, so generous, so giving. She set such a great tone for that set. And with Betty, you leave your diva at the door. Nobody's allowed to complain. And she once said, you know, when people come up to me and say, you know what I hate? She said, I always say, no, and I don't really care to know.
Nice.
But she never dissed anybody. She had a body sense of humor, but it was always double entendres, never mm-hmm. anything too graphic. Loved to flirt with the boys on the set. was still in love with Alan Ludden,
oh,
her late husband, mm-hmm. even though they only had, like, I think, 8 or 9 years together because he got cancer shortly after they. Mm-hmm. But she adored him and said, I had the best and I just could never find a replacement for him. But she has great friends mm-hmm. and always played poker and stayed busy and loved to work and loves animals. So those were her passions.
Share a little bit about working with Jane.
Oh, Jane she's such a love. She's pretty saucy and we sort of get each other, the humor-wise. And I see it eye to eye with Jane because we're both very tall.
Yes.
No, she's a great, great lady and terrific mother and wife and friend and,
How lovely. Now, Valerie Bertinelli, a little different, a little shorter. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about working with Valerie.
Valerie is like an industry unto herself. She never stops and it just goes a million miles an hour. And, she's like just chewing up the food channel right now.
She is.
Her cooking shows, and she loves to cook. She's a wonderful hostess. We all would have parties and invite each other and our families and all this stuff. And she threw some great ones out at the beach. And she and Tom are a really good pair, and also good people.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing so much about Hot in Cleveland and the ladies that you work with. I want to ask you one other show. Now, I'm not familiar with this movie, but it was called Manna from Heaven. But you worked with some legends of Shirley Jones and Cloris Leachman. I don't know the film, but can you share a little bit about it and that experience?
Yeah, it was done by the five sisters, the Burton sisters, and they were originally from Buffalo, which I'm from Buffalo, too. And they came to me with this script, and I thought, oh, what a blast to do this little, it was an indie, ultra-low-budget film, but shooting in my hometown. Hmm. And then Jill Eikenberry was in it. I mean, there were Seymour Cassell. They were fabulous. It was a great cast. Louise Fletcher.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were all in Buffalo, and because it was my hometown, I showed them around, like, the best bars. And the
best. Atta girl, Wendy.
took Jill with me up to our summer house in Canada, and we had a wonderful time. And Cloris, later I worked with her a number of times, and she now is a neighbor of mine. In fact, I was just at her house for their 40th night before Christmas party, where everyone who comes has to perform. So I write poems every year, and my niece sang an original song, and people do magic acts and all sorts of things.
Wow.
But it was fun, yeah.
What roles are you typically cast for now? Some of your roles that you've had in the past were kind of neurotic and kind of...
Love that.
Do you?
Oh, so much fun. Oh, yes. I'd much rather play somebody who's a little off than someone who's perfect. Which is good, because I never play anybody who's perfect. No, I just finished doing an indie film called Grandma Dearest,
mm-hmm.
so you can probably figure out where that's going. But I remember doing, it was a movie of the week, and I played a bulimic talk show host who was the on-air radio psychologist. But I was bulimic, so in between patients, I would be, like, stuffing candy bars in my mouth, and then I'd go throw up. And I remember the director saying, you do realize that you just became a character actress. And I thought, oh, great. I'm so happy.
Oh, that's good.
Because I used to play the heavies. I would be the lawyer or the judge or the divorcee. One year I killed, like, three husbands in one season on different shows, which is fun.
And sure.
That's fun. But to be a character actress and get to really kind of be out there it's so much more fun.
I'm speaking with actress Wendy Malick, and we're talking a little about her career, some of the shows, some of her roles that she's played. I want to ask you just a couple more questions. How do you prepare for an audition, or do you wing it?
No, I don't wing it. Although my best auditions are sometimes the ones where they go, can you go in today? They just need to see you right now, because you don't overthink it.
Yeah.
But ideally, you're off book, because that just changes everything. Sometimes you don't have time, or you'll do a cold one where you'll come in and they'll throw something at you and say, here, take a few minutes and then come in and do this. But not having a script in your hand, committing it to memory first makes it so much better. I like to go in and audition before we chat. Sometimes they like to sit and chat with you about stuff.
Mm.
And when I'm prepared, I'd like to just go in and do it. And oftentimes when I'm sitting in a room for an audition, I look around the waiting room and see those familiar faces and think, God, she'd be perfect for this.
Is there a project out there that you've always wanted to do and tackle, and maybe the right time hasn't presented itself? Is there something out there you'd like to do?
I think, there are a bunch of things I'd love to do, but I think at some point I do want to do Virginia Woolf.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. I think she's pretty juicy.
That's interesting. So what are some of your greatest passions? I know that you have a few things that you're an advocate for.
Yeah, I'm on the board of the Environmental Media Association, and we have been around for 30 years this year. I've been a part of it for 23, I think. And it came together to help people in our industry, in music, film, television, journalism, to come together and try to teach the world about sustainable living through content instead of lecturing them. So by example, we can help people sort of shift the paradigm and the way they live and the choices they make. And it's had a real impact. And I always take credit for, I think we were the people who made driving Priuses sexy. So we have to make it cool to do the right thing. I'm also involved with several animal rights groups, among them the Humane Society and a group called Return to Freedom. It's a friend of mine, Netta DiMaio, who rescues wild horses.
Oh.
She started a sanctuary about 15 years ago to take on bands of wild horses because they're being removed from our public lands. And they're zeroing them out, and they're just magnificent animals and deserve the right to live.
And then I read about homes in Mexico.
That's where I met my husband and a number of my friends. I went down there with another friend, and we built houses one weekend. And on that weekend down at a dump in Tijuana, I met him over the vegetarian spaghetti sauce and a number of other people who have become my closest pals.
So that's where you met your husband, and you've been married to him
some time. We went back for like the next 18 years, and he sort of organized a crew of misfits to go down and build every Thanksgiving.
Wow. Well, thank you for all you do for television, for film, for our communities at large. And thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Well, you too. I hope I see you in San Bernardino.
To learn more about Wendy Malick, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on Today's Show. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wad, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now. Yeah, the simple things in life.